This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And my wife and I are beating our kids in our bracket. So it's a good day this morning. So far, the Whoop-de-2-32, we did pretty well. Hope you did well as well. Nobody would have expected Yale to do what they did. Good for them.
Yay!
You know, clearly they were prepared. So it's been fun to actually. I love when you get the brackets going. It's much more fun to watch other college teams when you're then trying to beat your kids in their selection. Just adds a lot of fun. So we're gonna be here until 11 o'clock, and we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. It's a rainy Saturday morning again here in Connecticut. So you want to cuddle up with your computer or whatever device you're using these days to stay warm, we're happy to help you out. We're also broadcasting on the old Facebooks as well, or in the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. It's a private group, but you can join us. Just ask. So, as usual and customary, we talk about technology news.
Yep.
There's some pretty big stuff.
We have, a lot of big stuff. Probably the biggest one is what the Department of Justice is doing.
Oh, yeah. What are they doing?
They are suing Apple over... their so-called iPhone monopoly.
Really? They think they have a monopoly now, do they?
Supposedly they do.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and it's kind of a multi-pronged case.
Right.
That involves different elements of how Apple sells the iPhones and the whole infrastructure surrounding the iPhone. And right. We often talk about that because once you've bought an iPhone and you've started collecting up apps and you've got your iCloud account, then suddenly you're kind of locked in.
You're in the ecosphere, but you chose it.
Right. I mean, that was your decision.
Yep.
There are other ecospheres you could be in.
Correct.
And it's not impossible to break out of it if you choose to.
Right, exactly.
It's just a little inconvenient. That's pretty much what it boils down to.
Yeah, and of course the Apple devotees will, and I heard it on Todd's show last afternoon, they were talking about why they're so happy to pay more for Apple, the quote-unquote extra security. Well, we'll get into that in a minute. okay. The extra security of PayPal, we can get into that in a minute too. They have drunk the Kool-Aid, as it were, right? So they love the brand. More power to them. They chose it. Fine with me. Go ahead. They like to pay 2.5 times more for the product than most people do for similar products. Go ahead, right? This lawsuit, though, as far as I'm concerned, is just, again, the government wasting our time.
Yeah. It seems ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Too. I mean, when I go to McDonald's, right, when I choose that brand, can I buy a Whopper? No. Is Attorney Fong going to go after and say McDonald's is supposed to sell Whoppers too? No. I chose that brand, McDonald's.
Right.
So if you choose the Apple brand, you have chosen to, of course, interface with the Apple products. And yes, it's their choice to have that Apple Watch. It can't interface with anything else.
Right.
You know, same thing with the ear thing, same idea, right? It's all Apple all the time. Your choice. Right. But I really don't think the government's going to prove any kind of monopoly here. It's not some of these articles talked about referencing AT&T and breaking up AT&T. Well, in those days, you only had one choice dial tone.
Right.
I couldn't choose other dial tone.
That's absolutely true. This is not an analog to AT&T's monopoly back in the day. It's just not.
So, I mean, if you look at any brand, whether it be Apple, whether it be a Ford or a Chevy or whatever, there's things that you can interface with these devices and there's things you can't, right? Because of the ecosphere that they're in. So I don't know. I just think they're barking up the wrong tree here when it comes to doing this. Good luck to them if they want to try to break them up. There's plenty of real monopolies out there we could take care of. You know, if you want to actually go after something that is something that would help us, why don't you go after cryptocurrency, you ding-dongs? That shouldn't be a thing.
Yes, they should be going harder after that.
It's crazy. But yeah. No, we'll say we're going to spend all our time breaking up Apple. Good luck. We wish you the best. In other news,
yep.
Unpatchable vulnerability in Apple chip leaks secret crypto keys is the headline.
Wait. Hold on.
Yes.
I thought Apple was secure.
Well, let's listen to Steve Jobs' reason for why he actually decided to do software and hardware. Joy might have that for us.
People who are really serious about software should make their own hardware.
Right.
Alan said this 30 years ago, and this is how we feel about it. And so we're bringing breakthrough software to a mobile device for the first time. It's 5 years ahead of anything on any other phone.
And that's all good stuff, right? And again, I was listening to Todd's show. Oh, the reason you do this is because you pay this premium for all this extra security. Well, we won't talk about the fappening and all the naked nudies that got out for all that security. But that's just one example. But in this case, fixing a newly discovered side channel will likely take a major toll on the performance of your hardware, your Apple hardware.
What?
I am sorry to say it, but it is true. So as an unpatched vulnerability in Apple chip leaks your encryption keys, we'll put the link out here for you. You can read it for yourself. I'm sorry to tell you. But again, this is just another example of Dennis and I know how the sausage is made. Mm. The marketing department for Apple's done a very good job of telling you that you can't get a virus in an Apple. But it wasn't because it wasn't because it was necessarily made better. It was because you had so few Apple PCs out there.
Right. There was no appeal for the malware writers to write for Apple.
Right. So we'll put this link for you guys to read this story. But again, this is just another example. I mean, there's other examples. If you want to do searches on PayPal, Apple Pay, I should say, plenty of instances where people were able to breach that as well, as far as getting people's at people's credit cards and accounts using Apple Pay. You know, we can put links there. It's a simple Google search just to find these examples. This ecosphere is not necessarily as solid as you think it is. And you know, you're welcome to appreciate it. You know, what can I say? It's the market, but you know, there's plenty of vulnerabilities in this hardware, no matter where it is. Why? Because it's a computer, for crying out loud.
That's
the thing. So we'll put some links here. Go ahead.
I also have another story about Apple. So I guess
keep it rolling.
Them three ways.
We're not hammering. We're just talking about it. They're in the news.
Well, here's the story. Yeah. There's a new patch, a new security patch for macOS Sonoma.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Which is apparently breaking a lot of things in a lot of people's Macintoshes.
I hate when that happens.
And it's kind of a laundry list of stuff that doesn't work right after that patch is in.
They had to do a security patch, folks.
Right.
Which means they had to fix something that was a vulnerability.
Correct. Yeah, and they went and did that, but then you know, a bunch of things got broken. And for me, it reminds me of how people are always talking about how Microsoft's patches break everything.
Which they do.
But how many Microsoft Windows patches have you heard of that break five different aspects of the operating system?
That's a lot.
That is a lot of breakage in one single update.
Joey might have an example. He whipped out his headphones.
Well, we were going to bring it up last week, but we never did with Minecraft and Mojang, which is owned by Microsoft.
Ah, yes.
Oh.
Joey's a little salty about this.
Well, yeah, I think one of the last updates they pushed out, if you update the Minecraft launcher through the Xbox 360 app on your computer, will delete all of your previous worlds.
And this is worlds. Whoa.
So, like, you could have years spent in some of these worlds.
And it would go bye-bye.
And now they're gone.
Yeah. If you do the update.
Our update ruined your life.
Oh, no.
That's crazy. That's literally taking a sledgehammer to your Legos. Mm-hmm. You spent all the time building Millennium Falcon, and then they just smash it.
And right? then run it over with a lawnmower.
And they, all in the name of progress. Well, thank you, Joey. Well, I'll give you another one, though, Dennis. So my wife has been complaining about her computer for a very long time. And she always has to go over and use mine because I'm just too lazy to get her a new one. She had an old Windows 7 machine that she really shouldn't have had.
So this is the cobbler's kids that have no shoes. Your wife is running a 7 machine.
Exactly.
Okay.
So I decide one day, okay, we're going to get her a new machine. So I get another Tab machine. It's a nice Windows 11, beautiful machine. It's a nice 4x4, super powerful box. Perfect for her. Get it set up, running Windows 11, get all the software loaded, running Outlook. So now she's happy. She can read her email. And she's had the machine for literally 2 weeks. And then what does Microsoft do? Oh. Update new Outlook. The new Outlook look.
Oh, she got caught with that.
Yes. And so it's like deja vu. She was whining for, probably, and justifiably whining, don't get me wrong. I just say whining to add a little flavor to it. For probably a year or so, Eric, I need to get a new computer. So literally, she's been hammering me for it. I get it going, and Microsoft, literally 2 weeks after I put it in place, does this update, and she can't get email anymore.
Right.
So I am sitting there trying to configure this, because I use Proton, so there's a bridge you have to use to actually try to configure that bridge on this new Outlook.
You can't.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I know you can't.
Oh, I didn't know until I tried.
Oh, yeah.
I spent 25 minutes figuring that out.
Yeah, you can't customize the ports.
No.
And also, the new Outlook does not connect to an on-premise Exchange server.
Nah, Microsoft.
Their own software does not talk to their own software.
Their mail system, yeah. So here's my...
Seriously?
Here's what I had to do. I couldn't even bring up the old Outlook. Even if I wanted,
it was like
forced into some sort of weird hybrid, like it was hibernating on me. So I actually deleted the new version, and then I rebooted, and the old one finally worked again.
Oh, you could have also done an office repair.
I could have, but I chose the simple route to delete that.
It's a little probably faster, yeah.
So it's back up and running, but I didn't ask for new Outlook, Microsoft. Nope. I just tell my wife this is Microsoft's. This is a malicious. I think it's like malware. I was working, email worked fine. They say you need a new flavor of it, and now your email doesn't work. That is not a helpful tool, for crying out loud.
No, and that alone has caused support calls here at Tab.
Yep. Microsoft doesn't care.
People see that. They try to open it. It doesn't work right. They can't set it up. And then they're calling us, and they can't figure out why Outlook doesn't do what Outlook does.
Right.
So do you guys send like a Christmas card to Microsoft saying thank you for messing everything up and keeping us in business?
No, I mean, that's the thing, Joey, right? So it's a love-hate relationship. Without Microsoft doing this constantly to us, we wouldn't have anything to do. But that's not really what we got into IT for, though.
And you feel for the listeners. Like, I feel for them because they're like, oh, as much as we preach, do your updates.
Yeah.
And here's the asterisk with 37 attingencies to not do these updates.
Exactly. In this case, my wife didn't even remember asking for this to come down. It just was boom. Here
just
you go.
Bring back the paperclip.
Yeah. Well, no, thank you. The talking paperclip. So, we're hammering both Apple and Microsoft today. The DOJ is going after Apple.
Right.
But for those of you who think Apple is impervious and you're paying that premium for this perfect system, we'll put the links up here for you to read the news stories. It's not. It's just like any other computer. Although you get a different color text, I guess. So that's what they're going
at. It.
Whatever.
Man.
When you're texting Androids or vice versa, there's some sort of different color. And believe it or not, my kids brought that up too as one of the reasons they wanted to buy Apple, which is, again, a smart marketing ploy on their part, Apple's part. But I convinced them you don't want to pay 2.5 times for the same type of phone. We're going to step out for a quick break. Get to your calls. There aren't any. If you want to talk about this, feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. What's your feeling on Apple being focused on by the DOJ? We'll be right back.
From the Carter Mario Injury Lawyer Studios, visit GetCarter.com. That's GetCarter.com. This is Computer Talk with Tab.
Then Xerox made this prototype. Steve Jobs came on the scene. Red of mice and menus, Windows icons,
yes.
And trash. And
every OS does suck, Joey.
Old Stevie said to Xerox.
So we're gonna, it's the first time we've used it as a bump. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock and help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. plenty of concerns out there. The Department of Justice wants to save you from Apple. Please save us from cryptocurrency. Do the Apple thing later. All right, let's get to your calls. You're going to go to Janet in East Hartford, who's got a scam alert for us.
Oh,
what's happening, Janet?
Well, yes, I listened to you guys for a long time. I'm a first-time caller, but I get a lot of good information from you. But I was just calling in regard to that lady last week. I think her name was Holly. I'm not sure.
Melody.
Melody. Yeah. Well, I was close.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had a similar issue a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, my God, you have, I mean, I didn't think that I could be shocked with the way people talk to you. But that man, because I wouldn't give him my Social Security number, my password, my PIN. Oh, my God, you have no idea the way that man talked to me.
Right. They're very belligerent, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't think I could be shocked with language,
wow.
But let me tell you, he was bad.
Yeah.
I couldn't take it anymore. I hung up.
Yeah.
And I called my cousin, who works for the town of Glastonbury. He's manager of the IT department there, mm-hmm. and he takes care of my computer.
Yeah.
So I told him, he said, oh, my God.
Mm.
He said, I meant to mention that to you. Whatever you do,
right.
Do not ever dial any numbers. Don't give out anything.
Right.
Yeah. And, I would say about 6 months ago, I had another issue.
Yeah.
This time, I clicked on a story, mm-hmm. on a news story,
yep.
which I thought would be okay.
Right.
Well, my cat was sitting with me. I'm telling you, the bells, the whistles, the woman screaming.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't shut down the computer. Don't shut down the computer. The cat was so scared, he took off.
Oh.
And
that's called a browser hijack.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so now I don't click. Well, I did shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And I just waited, I would say maybe 4 or 5 hours. And then I got back on and I haven't had a problem since.
Yeah.
But they're just, my cousin said, they're not, whatever you do, don't. So now I don't click on anything.
Right, I know.
If I want to read a story, I'm going to get it in the paper or I'll hear it on the news.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
That's the direction
you
go.
And then when I do order,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But what I do is, on emails, I've gotten some weird emails, but I don't open, just like the phone,
mm-hmm.
I don't answer any numbers I don't know, and I don't open any emails of people that I don't know.
Well, that's not necessarily the full answer to that thing. So the bad guys are going to use people's emails that you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I try not to. I mean, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean, but that's again, people had used that in the past. That's probably 20-year-old advice. Mm. The bad guys are going to send out email attacks from people that you know because they've already gotten into those people's email addresses. So, well, thank you for the update, Janet. So the guy was yelling at you about your password. What was your password?
Oh, I'm not saying anything.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. You're continuing with that. So I appreciate that, Janet. Thanks for the call.
All right. And I enjoy you guys, and I've learned a lot. So thank you so much.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for listening.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. So Janet's giving you a warning out there. Don't pick up or take any calls or do anything on your computer that is, you know, yelling at you to call a number. She's right. Don't do any of that. So we're going to step out for a quick break. Bob, hang on. Three lines open for you. 860-522 is the number. WTIC there. 522-WTIC if you can't remember. We'll be right back.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And we are back. We got three lines open for you guys. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. And we're happy to talk about the DOJ going after Apple, if you like. I'm against it. I think Dennis might be as well.
Yeah, I think it's just the losing campaign there.
So many other things they need to do, and you're welcome to eat as many cheeseburgers as you want from the one company you want to buy them from. Nobody's making you go buy them somewhere else. You can buy them somewhere else. So this is, I don't know, maybe I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, but I don't think there's a lot of merit here, but we'll see what happens. Let's go to your calls now. Go to Bob in Hebron next. What's happening, Bob?
Hi. first of all, thanks a lot for all the invaluable information that you give us every single week.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Always learn a lot. The first thing I wanted to ask about is installing OpenDNS on your modem router. Mm-hmm. Versus on your individual PCs.
Yep.
if you install it on your laptop, doesn't that give you protection when you're using the laptop away from home?
Yep.
Yes, it will.
So that's like an added benefit to doing that.
Sure is.
It is.
Okay, great. Would it work or would it not work to if you wound up with it being installed on both your motor router and your PCs? Or would that be some kind of conflict?
It won't cause a conflict because the PC is going to have its own static definition for the DNS servers it's looking at. It isn't even going to ask the router what it should be.
Right.
That question will never even come across. So it will just use OpenDNS for DNS all the time. Now, where the router comes into play is when like a new device connects to it. Like, I don't know, maybe your neighbor comes over with his smartphone and he connects to your Wi-Fi. Well, then his phone is going to be told to use OpenDNS because that's what the router has been told to give out.
So you'll protect anybody coming into your network automatically.
Right.
And you can doubly protect, like you said, by configuring your individual laptop when it exits to be protected and use the tool when you're remote outside of your network. So both great ideas as far as how you described in there, Bob. And when you say install, it's not really installing anything. Right? You're just configuring those IP addresses. There's nothing to install, per se.
Right. You're just typing numbers onto a page in the interface. And those are saved and those are given out.
Okay.
Yep.
And is it, I took down the directions for installing it a long time ago. Is it still, I'm sorry to
configure.
Keep saying
this. Configure. Configure.
That's all right.
We configure things. That's what you're doing.
Is the process for that still the same as it used to be?
Yes. Yeah, you're going to go into the network settings on your computer, and then you just tell it that you want specific DNS servers, and then you put them in. 208.67.222.222 and 208.67.220.220.
Right. That's the safer network. That's the safer network. So what happens is your internet provider will give you their network,
right,
which is not as safe. And so you're going to choose OpenDNS's network, and you'll be much safer. Now, some of these internet providers want to, quote, unquote, offer you some of these things, and all they're doing is doing the same thing that we're talking about.
They might even be turning around and relaying to OpenDNS for all we know.
They might be, but they're probably first checking out where you're going.
Yeah.
So if you're
doing their own logging.
Yeah. Yes. So they're going to be like, well, where's Bob going? And so they do that first, then they put you down the more safer path. So if you want to not have your data sold by your internet provider, one of the ways to prevent that is by using somebody else's DNS or help prevent it. I'm not going to guarantee anything anymore, but actually I never have. guaranteed anything if you listen to the show. But it'll basically help you not be as tracked by your internet provider.
Okay. My internet provider was one of the charges that I was getting. Well, I was getting it for free.
Mm.
Was providing security.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've lost my discount, so right. Now they're going to actually start charging me for it.
Right.
I don't even know if that was already installed or that was something I could have installed and never did, or I guess I have to get that straight with them, but
right.
I just as soon not have their security and just have the stuff that you recommend.
Well, and we'd say the same thing. I would just tell you, you know, they give it to you, quote unquote, for free. Then they just turn it on your bill. So, yeah, you want to go back to them and say, I just want your stupid internet connection. And when I say that with much love and affection. You want the pipe to be stupid. You just want it to just be a stupid connection to your home. Have a stupid modem in there that doesn't pay attention to anything you're doing because it's none of their business. And then you configure the IPs as far as the network you want to go to. The problem is they want to put smarter and smarter devices in there to figure out where you're going and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I contend, don't want that as far as any kind of privacy. Not that you're doing anything wrong, Bob, but it's none of their business, and nor do you want your stuff, what you do sold to somebody else as far as whatever interest you have or however you want to be marketed to. You want to make that a little more difficult for them to figure out.
I know everybody out there has got nefarious motives, so I'm on guard for that.
All right.
One other quick question. In Gmail, if I move one of my I have Proton. I'm transitioning over to that.
Nice.
From Gmail, but I still use Gmail for so much that
yeah.
I it's going to take a while. But anyways, if I move one of my emails in Gmail to trash and then delete it forever, does that eliminate their ability to really read it, or can they still kind of?
It's a great question.
It is.
It's a great question. It came through their servers. They back up their servers. How long they back up their servers? I have no idea. You know, why do you think Hillary got her own server? But we won't go there. The idea here is that Google and any mail provider, when it's flying through their system, is backing up their email. So could they receive actually, you can go look it up. These companies get subpoenas from the DOJ all the time. They don't even ask you if they can read your email. They ask the company that whose email you're flying through to have them send the information directly. All sorts of stuff like that is going on. And so the answer to you would be, I would tell you to assume they are backing up that message and have access to it. Now, with Proton, it's encrypted with a key that supposedly Proton does not have to be able to get back at.
Yeah, it's supposed to be encrypted based on the password that you've got.
Right.
And only you have that.
So they can't decrypt that. So the only way for anybody, quote unquote, to read your email is going to be having to subpoena you. And then you have to be willing to give that password because they can't do it as a third party. So, again, additional security there. But I would always assume that they have access to your emails wherever your email is flying through, whether it be Microsoft 365, whether it be Gmail, whether it be any third party, whether it be Cox, whether it be Comcast. And they are constantly – we can go find stories – up the wazoo of third-party asks of the whatever law enforcement wants to read your email for all sorts of reasons. Because, you know, they could want to read your email because your cell phone pinged off a tower within a certain area, right? Now they're doing that too. And why were you in that certain area? Well, I had actually had a VPN and I wasn't in that certain area, but it pinged off. There's all sorts of things that's going on here that's going to get uglier and uglier. But assume your email is readable even if you delete it, unless you're using a tool like Proton Mail. And I can't promise that either.
Right.
I really hope it works that way. Could there be a backdoor? Probably, but I hope not.
And we know that the Swiss government has forced them to hand over logging data.
Right.
Which is not the email content. It's just, yes, this email server sent in a message to this person on this date and time.
From that email server. They can
from
tell you
that other email server. Right. Right. But they can't. Well,
read the message.
They can't actually read the message, right? So
that's been encrypted.
I could live with that one. It just as long as they're not handing out any of my account data or something. But if I get a Gmail sent to my Proton, that doesn't somehow corrupt my Proton, does it?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate the great info.
Our pleasure. Thank you, Bob.
Okay. Bye.
All right, bye-bye. One other thing to think about, too, with AI, right? So you're sitting there with, I talked about it earlier, with Outlook, right? My wife now brings up Outlook. She's reading the email now. The Proton decrypted email in Outlook. Might Microsoft have a plugin for AI coming soon to a theater near you where it'll say, I'll read your email for you and figure out what it means. Now, I've got an encrypted email that's open and you got AI buddy on your shoulder, Microsoft, looking at it for you, reading it for you, interpreting it for you, and of course, cataloging it, right?
Right.
They say they're not going to. We think they say they're not going to. I couldn't even tell you what's in their EULA. But once you add that AI piece scrubbing the information, all that security you just did to encrypt it is no longer there, right? Because the tool you're using to read it is going to start sucking it up and giving it back to Microsoft.
Why do you think I'm a fan of Thunderbird?
Right. It's another one that's...
It's open source.
Right.
And I don't think the people that make it have the money to host an AI project, so I don't need to worry about them doing that to me.
Right. But I don't think there's AI yet in Outlook. I haven't seen it yet. Have you? But it's coming everywhere. You're Copilot everywhere.
How would you know?
I know.
How would you know? Seriously.
The operating system itself could just grab it because it's got the Copilot piece in there.
Right.
So not that we're nervous or overly paranoid here, folks. And again, not that we're doing anything wrong, but it's just a problem. You try to work on security and privacy and you can't really get it.
Just thinking through the implications of everything is just... Yeah. It's crazy making sometimes.
Yeah. Once it's decrypted, it's available. So we're going to step out for a quick break, get back to your calls. Mitch, hang on. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back.
Because you've got better things to do at 728 in the morning than stare at brake lights. Traffic and weather together on the 8s all morning on WTIC News Talk 1080 and WTIC.com.
I got a story about that too, Joey. You were thinking about here in my car. There's issues with trucks now here in my truck, but we'll cross that bridge later. There's some sort of truck-to-truck worm.
Oh, yeah.
That can disrupt the entire U.S. commercial fleet, according to this article. Something to do with ELDs, which are required. And, jeez. Nobody thinks about security anymore.
No, it's like, hey, we just put this in every truck now, and then, oh, wait, there's a problem here.
Yeah, you know what? I'll bring it up, Mitch, if you don't mind. I'm just bringing it up real quick.
Yeah.
Truck-to-truck worm could infect and disrupt the entire U.S. fleet. So basically, there is a presentation that was put out at a symposium, a distributed system security symposium. And basically, they didn't talk about the models of trucks that have it, but ELDs are designed to help the industry track how long your driver is driving and staying awake and all that fun stuff. And the issues here, though, is that they were able to wirelessly manipulate the truck remotely while you're sitting there near the truck, while you're within Bluetooth range.
Right.
And kind of scary stuff. Like they could what the ELD does is it logs the data into the engine operation, vehicle movement, and distance driven, which is all part of keeping that industry a little more regulated so you don't have some blurry-eyed guy that's been driving for 24 hours run at the back of you, which all makes sense. But I guess what's happening here is that you can actually have a third party drive up and manipulate the truck. You can also mess around with it by hanging out at truck stops, rest stops, distribution centers, anywhere the trucks tend to hang out. And some of the scenarios that I was reading was kind of scary. Like it could mess with the engine. It could mess with... not driving it, but you could, you know, I think you can kill the engine while it's going. It's just some nasty stuff here. And of course, the ability to have it, you know, send out truck to truck to truck, like you infect it and then the truck moves next to the next truck and it infects the next truck.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good.
No.
We'll put this paper up there. We'll put a link up to it. You can take a look at it. But So what they're trying to, what they're seeing is a vulnerability in that there's no security between how the ELDs communicate. And that's a big issue with Bluetooth. Bluetooth has always been very insecure.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
So we'll put a link here for you guys and we'll see what happens with it. Hopefully they'll just send out a patch of some kind and allow for more secure handshaking between the right devices. You don't want just anybody to connect to your truck.
Yeah, but then how many fleet operators are going to say, yeah, I don't know if we want to install that patch because the last time we installed a patch,
right,
it broke all our trucks.
Well, so. That's the thing. I mean, they are talking about being able to force a truck to pull over. Because if you do something to this ELD system, I mean, I'm not sure exactly what you're going to do to cause a trucker to feel he has to pull over or she has to pull over. But I don't know. And of course, they always use the default settings, right? Everyone uses default. So most likely the user to log into the system, the username is admin and the password is blank, or the username is blank and the right. password is password. It's just crazy.
Yeah. So,
I'll put a link up here for you guys, but we got to do a better job at this. And they're doing this with medical devices too, right? I mean, you could have this great, amazing thing in your heart, right? And it's in literally somebody with an iPhone can walk up. Well, not an iPhone because those guys are much better. Anybody with an Android can walk up there with this Bluetooth utility in there and talk to your heart and, you know, oh, I'm going to tell this heart to stop. I'm just kidding and not saying it exists. But there's things out there that are like that, right? Because they're not actually putting in very much security into these things.
Right.
And you want the doc to be able to look at the device he put in there wirelessly, right? Makes sense. You don't want him to open you up again. So, but you can need some sort of security. But again, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, so who am I? What do I know? Let's go to Mitch and see what he's got cooking. What's going on, Mitch?
What's going on, guys? So that's kind of like the lot lizard of the digital age now, I guess. That's
yeah. Exactly. Yes. I'm not going to go further there. Go ahead. What do you got there, Mitch?
So I think I answered my own question just before I called, but I just moved to Nashville from that terrible place. So, of course, I got a lot of things I got to get done here. And my Windows 11 laptop is crashing, bang, like blue screen and like every 2-5 minutes. It was horrible. And so I'm like, what the hell is this? I didn't do anything to it. The only change was I had a new internet service installed the day before. So that's probably not going to do it. So then I looked, lo and behold, there was a Windows update pushed out to me the day before.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if you guys are familiar with this. So I just Googled it, and sure enough, it looks like that update is causing guys a lot of problems, like similar to what I had. And then they blasted out a subsequent update, and now I think I'm okay. I'm just wondering if you're, because it's been running now for 36 hours or something and it hasn't crashed yet. So
Dennis did a quick check.
Yeah, I was looking into this. We did have a couple of calls over the past couple of weeks about crashes, but as far as I know, whatever that was has been resolved. So I am thinking that they did modify their patch so that it doesn't break the computer anymore.
So you can use it again as a tool. Isn't that great?
What's that?
Now you can use it again as a tool until their next patch.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Because I had a neighbor like ship me my backup hard disk.
Oh, my.
I don't want to get involved in that. But so I'll, if you think I'm maybe good, I'll give it a try.
You may be good. You're maybe good until the next patch.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Mitch.
Appreciate all your help.
Thank you. Sorry to see you go.
Okay. That's all right. Thank you. I'm still listening.
All right. Talk to you soon. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We'll be right back.